Today we started learning the portion of Masay. And in Chassidus, he asked the question, he points out that the actual journey from Egypt was the first journey that they went. It says, in the Pasuk, it says that Vayisu Meramses B'chodesh HaRishon. So they went from Ramses Vayachanu B'sukkos. So by the very first journey, they left Egypt. So the language that the Pasuk says is a little difficult, because the Pasuk says, Eile Masei B'nei Yisrael, these are the journeys, in the plural, Asher Yotzu Meretz Mitzrayim, that they've gone out to Meretz Mitzrayim. They weren't a plural of Masois, they weren't more than one journey going out of Egypt. Going out of Egypt was really only one. And later on, they were going in the desert, but that wasn't going out of Egypt. Why does the Torah say, Eile Masei B'nei Yisrael journeys, as they journeyed out of Eretz Mitzrayim? And the Chassidus explains that actually we're constantly going out of Mitzrayim. During the entire procedure of the 42 Masos, while the Jews were in the desert, there is a level of Mitzrayim, and Mitzrayim in the more spiritual level, it doesn't mean only the physical Egypt, the place, the physical boundaries of Egypt, but it also means the limitations, the physical limitation that one has. And while one can go out from one level of limitation, the second level is still a limitation for him at that point. And at the second point, he has to go out of that limitations too. So you're actually always going out of your limitation, because the Mitzrayim gets a broader understanding that you have a new Mitzrayim to deal with. And also brings this to mind that, you know, just what's going on now in Eretz Yisrael, and what's going on in our hearts and our minds, we are all in pain about the loss of life of young soldiers and older soldiers, but who had their whole life ahead of them and it was cut off so brutally. And we have to understand that this is a journey that we're still going. We're in Golus, and as we're in the 3 weeks now, this is a continuation. Even though we've gone through some of the hardships already in Golus, but this is part of the hardships of Golus. It's still part of the journey. We're still in Masay. We haven't yet gone to the land. Mashiach isn't here yet, and unfortunately, we have to deal with such terrible atrocities. And we have to realize that the people that are fighting, that especially this is very clear to everyone, that the people, the Hamas and the other, Yimach Shemam V'Zichram, may they be erased, and they have one agenda. Their agenda is to kill Jews. They don't have any territory claim or anything else. Israel has given back to them all the Gaza, everything that they want. Israel has given everything back to them. So it's not like they want territory. What they are investing all their money, all their lives, everything that they have is to kill Jews. That's all what it is, it's all about. They're building tunnels in order to infiltrate Israel to do mega terrorist attacks, and they've prepared for that for all these years. They've been building these missiles and the rockets and everything to shoot indiscriminately. This is what they're doing, because all what they want to do, they don't want any territory, they don't want anything else. All what they want is to hurt Jewish people. This is what their agenda is, and this is what they've been doing, and this is what they're investing in. And it's very, very unfortunate that they are, to a certain extent, successful in their public relations by creating false impressions and false things. Now, of course, everybody knows that Israel and as Jewish people, we value the sanctity of life. We don't take life easily, and nobody wants to hurt anybody innocent. That's so obvious that even to have to say that that's not what we do is sort of implies that we have to even say that. That's so obvious. But it's also obvious that when terrorists use people as human shields is as much as the casualties that Israel is taking and the precaution that it costs them in order to try to protect and to minimize, there is inevitable collateral damage, and there is inevitable deaths what's happening, and it's very unfortunate, but that's solely as the Israeli leadership has been trying to get across. This is all their responsibility, because Israel isn't going after them either. They just don't want them to kill us. That's what they're doing. They're trying to kill. They're creating this massive, massive network of terror, of tunnels, and it's beyond even what anybody has imagined what they found. So I had a chance to talk to a mother who today, whose son is in the fighting in the Gaza, and he's told me that he's the head of a group of soldiers, a foot soldier, and he's actually called his mother just today, 3 o'clock in the morning, telling him that he's okay, he's home, he's in the hospital, you know, getting sewn up from some shrapnel wounds, because being the head of the platoon over there, or the head of the, not a platoon, or just a group of soldiers, so it is his job to go and kick in the door when they're trying to look for the enemies, and everything is booby-trapped over there. Everything is hidden. You know, it's guerrilla warfare. They don't come out. They're cowards. They don't come out and fight, you know, like people, but they just run and they hide behind women and children and in ambulances. And unfortunately, the UN is aiding them to, there were some videos on YouTube, if you didn't see it, that they're actually running into the UN ambulances. They're doing their job, and then they go and run with the ambulances into safety. So this is sort of the battles that we're facing. This is a very pointed telling us. We live in a very anti-Semitic world, unfortunately. It is, by what we hear and what we see going on in the world, it just brings to the forefront, because nobody in their right mind could not see the right of the Jewish people, of the Israeli army, of the Israeli government, to try to protect its citizens from this terrible plans that these terrible people are trying to do to us. And we're trying to just live in peace. We're not doing anything to them, but we are trying to save ourselves from the enemy. And unfortunately, they are causing all these terrible things to happen to their own people, and then they utilize it and they use it as propaganda to try to say that Israel is killing their men, their women and children. But this is Maaseh B'nai Yisrael. This has been the Jewish journey throughout the history. Unfortunately, it's from the time we left Egypt. We're still not fully been able to free ourselves from these evil people, from these Rishoyim, from these people who try to do us harm. But the most important we can do is strengthen ourselves with saying Tehillim, learning more Torah, doing mitzvahs. But the most important is by sticking together, a unified force. The Jewish people stick together. And if we stick together, it doesn't matter what the enemy says. It doesn't matter what they do. Unfortunately, sometimes there is casualties. We hope that the Israeli government with the Israeli army will stand strong, and notwithstanding that a heavy price has been paid and all of our hearts are broken for the terrible loss of life and the innocent loss of life of our soldiers who are there to defend, they died al Kiddush Hashem, but to stop in the middle and to leave them the way it was, then it's almost a waste for these young lives and all the energy and all the effort that was put in. It's almost a waste, because before you're going to turn around, they're going to be back and doing it as they've done in the past. So a forced ceasefire, things like that upon Israel, and nobody forces them, but if they force it upon themselves. And unfortunately, even our allies and those who are supposed to be our friends are talking on both sides of their mouths. On one side they're saying, they have a right to defend themselves, but don't do any casualties, as if somehow they have to, when Israel is the one that is suffering, and they have to sort of preach to us how we should be careful. And, you know, just take a look, you know, what's going on in Afghanistan, what's going on all over the world. And here, Russia's Putin shot down a plane with 300 people. You don't hear the outcry in Syria. 200,000 civilians have been killed. Nobody says a word. So it is what it is. You know, our enemies are definitely open enemies. Even our friends are sort of chetzi friends. You know, they're playing both sides of the game. You know, trying to do that. So the Eibshter should help. That from this Masseh B'nai Yisroel we read, but we went through all the different Masseis, we went through all the different steps, but eventually the Jewish people were ready at this point to enter into the land of Eretz Yisroel and experience the true freedom. So we are, amidst Hashem, with God's help, Bezras Hashem, ready to enter into Eretz Yisroel with the coming of Mashiach Tzidkenu. We hope and we pray that the success will be beyond comprehension. We can stop all the missiles, stop all the tunnels, stop all the terrible things that they're trying to do. There will be peace in the land of Eretz Yisrael, and at that point, you know, Mashiach will come, and the whole world will be elevated to the status, and these days of mourning, the 3 weeks, will be turned into days of joy and simcha. Amen.